Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 347 of the Fun with Cars Motorsports podcast, or episode 9 of 2023. I'm Robin Warner, and I recently got the chance to have a conversation with IndyCar champion, Formula One veteran, and driver of the Cadillac VLMDH car in IMSA's top GTP class for Chip Ganassi Racing, Sebastian Bourdais. So, let's jump right in.
Sebastian Bourdais, a seasoned race car driver of many sorts, raced Formula 3000, Formula One, IndyCar, Champ Car, and now IMSA, not to mention several stints in Le Mans and some wins in Super League Formula as well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you.
You've had a long career, I hope you don't mind me saying. I first got notice of you when you won the Formula 3000 championship in 2002, back when it was called Formula 3000. And you look to be Formula One bound. You tested for Renault. You tested for Arrows. But you ended up in Champ Car instead. And I just wanted to spend a couple minutes seeing how coming to America, racing here in America, how you enjoyed it, if it changed your outlook on American racing after participating in it. What was it like leaving Europe and going to America first time round? Obviously, plenty of success when you came.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of the American dream a bit for me. I didn't know a whole lot about racing in the U.S. I'd seen some of it from obviously what Nigel Mansell had done. And that's kind of when we started to get a little bit more, I guess, coverage in France and in Europe in general. But I, you know, as far as really attending and understanding, I was really very much of a newbie there, and I didn't know a whole lot. So it was kind of eye opening when I first arrived. The cars were awesome to drive, and the tracks were super rough and natural and kind of old fashioned, which I really got to enjoy over the years. And for me, it was the opportunity that I didn't really get in Europe. So, it all came together, and I got an awesome, obviously, a stretch of 4 or 5 years, and won a bunch of races. And as a race car driver, there's not much more you can ask for, really.
Yeah, well, you came on with a really strong team of the era, certainly, Newman Haas, and, you know, came in 2003 and then went on to win 4 championships in a row. What was that experience like to win so many and then head back to Europe after all that success? Because when you go to, you left America to go to from a top team to go to Europe to what was a mid-pack team. So how was that experience transferring back to Europe after all that success in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it was the years with Newman Haas were amazing. They became very quickly a second family, and there was very little rotation on the personnel. And you know, I had many guys for the 5 seasons who stuck with me and the group, and had the same engineer. And you know, it just clicked, and we had a great time. Like I said, we won so many races and been on so many poles, and you know, felt like pretty much every race we entered, we had a chance to win, which is really a testament to the effort that they were putting and how strong we were. And yeah, like you said, obviously leaving that was very difficult. Yeah, I mean, it was a tough decision to make. At the same time, as an open wheel racer, you always kind of put F1 as a goal. It certainly was when I was in F3000. It didn't come together, and then I really thought after the championship nothing happened for F1. I really thought I would spend my career in the US, and I was totally fine with that. And then out of the blue came that opportunity with Toro Rosso, which I knew would be challenging, but at the same time it was really difficult to just not go all the way and try it out. It certainly, you know, didn't work out in any way, shape, or form the way I had envisioned it, and it was very painful. But at the end of the day, I would have always questioned what if, and that what if doesn't exist. I'm glad there was a before or during F1, and that there has been an after F1 as well, because it was a very painful year and a half. But at the end of the day, it was an experience, and I can say I did give it a shot, and although it didn't turn out the way I wanted, I'm not really regretting anything. I would do the exact same thing if I was offered the opportunity. The thing is, now I probably wouldn't do it because I know how it turned out. But it's okay. I'm fine with that.
Well, Formula One is very cutthroat, very political, and Toro Rosso / Red Bull Racing is probably the most cutthroat team within that cutthroat racing series. So it's a very, not only do you have to be incredibly skilled, you also have to be quite lucky with timing and everything else of circumstances. So it's fantastic you can say you had, I think it's 27 Formula One starts, and you had some strong results as well, just certainly not as many as you wanted, I'm sure. And coming from France, going through the European ladder to go to Formula One, it's certainly clear that that was the number one goal. And the fact that you got to achieve that, I think, is fantastic. And I am curious, if you were more of like, who did you follow as you were climbing through that ladder? Were you Alain Prost, Olivier Panis, or were you more of a, I want to be champion like Ayrton Senna or Michael Schumacher?
To be honest, I was more of a Senna fan, so like all the way. So I was at that stage in my life and where I just started obviously racing go-karts, and that Senna Prost rivalry was in full motion at that stage. And the mystical around Senna was just incredible, and for me the absolute search of qualifying speed was just something that really attracted me right away, which certainly wasn't as flamboyant on the Prost side. So it was much more calculative and just not as spectacular. So I guess as a kid, I was a big Senna fan.
Yeah, watching Senna qualify around Monaco is, to this day, one of the most amazing things to see, isn't it? But watching you qualify in the IMSA cars is not that far off. You're incredibly quick in the Ganassi Cadillac GTP car, as you were in the DPI car preceding it. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit because I've been massively impressed with your raw speed in the IMSA car. You were born in Le Mans. There's obviously, you've had several stints and class wins at Le Mans. You know the town very well. It's beautiful, by the way. I love the cathedral. And you know sports car racing so well. Does it feel like another return to home in a sense to be in sports cars full time now?
I mean, for sure, I knew the time would come where obviously, my IndyCar career would come to an end, and I would transition most likely to IMSA or WEC. And I've always had that kind of double sporting life shared between sports car racing and open wheel, and I very much enjoyed both. It was kind of a natural transition. I knew the GTP era or hypercar era on the broader spec would obviously present itself with opportunities to get back with manufacturer and hopefully maybe one day go back to Le Mans to try and correct history if possible and finally win one overall at Le Mans. And it all came together with companies that I very much have a great relationship with, both with Cadillac Racing and Chip Ganassi Racing. So it was just an opportunity I couldn't pass on. I mean, I could have probably tried to just drag on my chances in IndyCar and do a couple more seasons and let the train go by in hypercar, and at that point, then you become a passenger of your destiny, really, because opportunities like that don't present themselves, you know, every day, and you have to be at the beginning of the programs to be able to kind of get in it. And once the train is passed, that's it. So it was a bit of a tough decision to make, but quite quickly, you know, also got super excited about the prospects of what this program means and how much effort is behind it, and pretty happy where I'm at right now, and with our chances to compete at the front and win races like we did last year, and enjoy racing again.
Now you competed against Ganassi in IndyCar, in Champ Car when that was around, and then IndyCar when you returned. Was there a moment where you guys, oh man, I'm now entering a competitor, or was that transition very smooth to be with the Ganassi hierarchy, even though you're not with the IndyCar team that you competed against so many years?
Yeah, I mean, there were plenty of opportunities, well, of talks, at least with Chip and Mike, trying to see if there was an opportunity.
And that's Mike Hall, yeah?
Yeah, to see if we could, you know, make something happen on the IndyCar side, and there definitely was a lot of mutual interest. But every time they had an opening, I was under contract, and it just never came together. So the first step was obviously me being integrated in the old program in 16 all the way through the end of 19. And you know, we had some great successes and some really cool times, it just never came together for IndyCar, but it's not by lack of interest for sure on either side.
Sure. Well, you're in IMSA in a fantastic era of sports car racing. Just you it's the GTP cars here in IMSA, the hypercars for WEC racing together at Le Mans. Just as you mentioned, you can compete for overall victory this year in Le Mans. How has it felt to be in this era of IMSA, and how has it been to be with Cadillac and Ranger van der Zander? I mean, how has that whole experience been? Simple question, right?
Yeah, first, very seamless, really. I mean, we started the program obviously last year, getting the two cars, the two car program getting together and started, and it worked out, you know. Right away, we had some extremely competitive cars, and we've been on pole a lot, and won, you know, a bunch of races between the two cars, and it was really an awesome season. And then obviously that was just kind of the launching ramp for the GTP program and the WEC program on the other side for the two car. And yeah, I mean, it's really been cool. And essentially, it's the same people that were involved in the 16 to 19 sports car program. And so a lot of very familiar faces, some added talents, and obviously getting to work with Branger, who's incredibly quick and super impressive in his, you know, skills to manage traffic and his racing abilities. So I think we formed a great pair, and it showed last year. And you know, obviously it's all kind of a moving puzzle right now, because everybody's, you know, still trying to figure out exactly what it is that they got with the new cars being so new, and evolutions kind of coming in the system as far as the hybrid management, the drivability of the cars, and extracting more performance out of them. It's not like the DPI that had been around for a while, and you know, you just kind of, you had a lot of support from Dallara just kind of pointing you towards, you know, the right direction to extract the best out of the car. Right now, everybody's just working together as a whole, trying to understand what the car needs and where it needs to be to be fast. Obviously, very different tires as well. Michelin's got some really interesting tires, which are really high performance, but also always performance comes at a little bit of a price, whether it's durability or warm up or you know, it's a much finer tire.
Is the operating window narrower than the old tire?
Yes, for sure. You know, obviously we've had all, you know, to deal with stuff that we're not really used to with a custom attire, being like the warm up being quite a bit harder, and the kind of trying to keep the tire in its window of operation, because under is not really a huge deal, but over the window it obviously causes degradation, and the tire is high performance, but it's obviously not going to, you know, tolerate just being mistreated so much. So it's definitely been an interesting process, and working with Michelin and developing that, and we've had kind of the kitchen sink thrown at us, you know, and just trying to figure out exactly how to put all the pieces together. And it, you know, we saw quite a nice jump in performance on our side from Daytona to Sebring, and you know, hopefully we can keep that trend going and get closer to you know, some of our rivals that have kind of hit the ground running a little bit stronger than us, maybe on performance, but for sure, you know, the very strong point about the Cadillac and the reliability so far. So you know, we had a, you know, very minor incident on the engine side, which unfortunately couldn't be fixed and took us out of the race in Sebring. But every car has been running very flawlessly for brand new programs like that, between the WEC and IMSA. So really, really happy about that, because when you're trying to figure out a car and at the same time you got reliability issues, it makes things very difficult. And
oh, sure.
And had that those problems. So it's been good.
Well, and without a doubt, you guys have the best sounding engine out there. It
well,
rumbles the past everybody.
Sure.
That's it. It's very fascinating. You are one of three V8s, but the only naturally aspirated V8 among them. The others going turbo, and then you know, Acura basically taking what, you know, is basically taking a very similar approach to their IndyCar program, and you know, putting that in their IMSA car is really something. How that's a standout, but nothing rumbles like the Cadillac, and it's always fun to make noise. That's true from childhood through adulthood. And it's been quick. And as you said before, you had that issue. You were very competitive at Sebring, and you know, you were on the podium at Daytona. What are your prospects? How do you feel about the coming races? How do you feel about Le Mans? How is your confidence?
Honestly, I mean, I think we're not really focusing so much on that. We're just really focusing on trying to develop the car as much as possible, and trying to understand how to maximize the strengths of the car and minimize, you know, whatever little limitations may be. Obviously, we're in a very strict window of homologation, so you can't redesign just about anything. It's like, that's the car, and you just have to work on setups and adjustments that are within the range of the car. You know, I think a lot of it has to come. Obviously, it's a bit of a different game now compared to the DPI, because you have the power limits being monitored by a torque sensor on the drive shaft. So how you manage to just hit maximum power without overshooting and having to run under the limit to just not get penalties, that's a huge thing. It's a very new thing. Obviously, I think HPD, using a very known platform and being extremely good with that particular platform on engine controls has helped them achieve that maybe a little faster than others. And that's why I also expect, you know, us to kind of hopefully catch up, completely, within a few races, and certainly hope so that we can do that by Le Mans.
And does the chassis feel good? I mean, you know, does the chassis side, or is that where, you know, 'cause talking about, you know, torque limitations, and obviously the hybrid system is standardized across the teams. How do you feel about it's a Dallara chassis, correct? How do you feel about that chassis?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been pretty pleased with the mechanical grip that we've found and that we can use. The car is fairly easy to drive and responds well to changes. It's obviously all that, you know, downforce drag ratio that was homologated in the wind tunnel that you hope, you know, you kind of right where you need to be compared to the opposition, because they kind of put you in the box. You just hope that the box is right and that you're not going to end up being a little sluggish in straight line speed, because obviously we haven't really had that so far. We didn't look super strong at Daytona. Some of it was on us, with, like I said, controls and engine management. We hope that we can step that up progressively and get stronger with this, and that when we get to Le Mans, we have, a straight line speed that's on par with the opposition, because the straights being so long and, being so many of them, you have to be fast in the straights to be competitive at Le Mans.
Finally, I'm always curious, how do you get along with Renger? I mean, he's a pure sports car guy. He's been in sports cars for a long time. That's been his career. You, as we talked about earlier, were in single seaters for most of it, and many different single seaters across the world. How do you guys get along? And is there any inherent, like, oh, this is the Dutch way of doing things versus the French way of doing things? Like, do you prefer, do you guys have arguments about pastries, for example?
No, I mean, Renger is a pretty cool guy, and he's been racing in the US for a long time, which I have as well. So, we're pretty laid back on our approach and trying to maximize our teammate, in the decision making process, which is always somewhat of a compromise in sports cars. If you make the car your absolute best car and your teammate can't drive it, then, it doesn't help anybody. So trying to make sure that you maximize both drivers is always the key. And, we've hit that many times last year, and I think we've had some really good handling cars so far this year. So I think it's still true today. And, it's always just a communication, that you have to keep flowing to make sure that you extract the best out of the group. And, we have a pretty strong foundation between the two of us, and, really enjoy working with it.
No, good. That's great to hear. And it obviously shows in the speed you guys have. And you're the taller of the two, so I imagine physically the car is set up for you, and then he adds padding to fit. Is that correct?
No, actually, we're the same size, we just have a bit of a different ratio upper body to leg strength.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a tiny bit of a compromise there as well, trying to, because the dash is quite a bit higher in the GTP car, so the window of where the eyes can sit inside the car is smaller. So it was a bit of a shocker this year to try and find a compromise, but we did find one. The seat actually base was made by Renger, and it's all good. It just takes a bit of time to just refine that, but we've had plenty of time to work on it over the winter testing, and we got to. The first race was a very good seating position for everybody.
Well, don't tell Renger, but I definitely prefer French pastries and French food generally. That can just be between you and me. Sebastian Bourdais, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure to speak with you, learn a little bit about your perspective in your career, and indeed what this 2023 GTP season has been like. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you very much for your time, Sebastian. I really enjoyed it. That's it for today, but I'll be back soon with another interview from our beloved motorsports world. In the meantime, I've kept quite busy on YouTube. I most recently finished several videos on the all-new 2024 Mazda CX-90. This is a seriously good SUV. But most importantly, thank you for listening. Please take a moment to review us on iTunes or on whatever platform you get our podcasts. Please leave comments on the episode of your choice by going to funwithcars.com. As always, I can be reached at feedback@funwithcars.com and tweet us at fun_with_cars. I'm Robin Warner. Goodbye.